Hey everybody, happy Friday and good afternoon on the East Coast. Afternoon, Central Time, morning, Mountain Time, morning. West Coast, and various times around the world. So how's everyone doing? Doug, Isabel are here to join me. We might be joined by Matt Tolman later if he finishes up. I think he's on something with Rip Esselstyn, right? The Plant Strong podcast of some kind? Is that Rip's podcast or for us?
That's for Plates Palooza.
For our thing. Okay, good. So people can go
a teaser there. And, haven't announced that there's going to be another Plants Palooza yet. This is breaking news. I
mean, so there's no opt-in page or anything yet. This is just a pre... Yeah.
No.
Heads up way in advance. Okay.
Special news.
All right. I'm good. All right. I forgot to adjust the title, even though we just talked about that. So that's not good. We got some fun stuff today. We got the best fitness gifts of this entire year already out. So I'm going to put that in the title and people can come running to get that information from us.
Best fitness gifts of the entire year for 2024. And we're only three months in.
They already know. It's already known what it is. It's already written what will be the best gifts of the year. All right. People are checking in now. Leslie Knight, Bianca Phillips, our Friday exclusive person who only comes on Fridays, and Britters, who's here all the time. And I'm sure many more will be joining us in a few minutes. All right. In the meantime, what do we got? I know, Isabel, you got this new watch that we might talk about. Anyone, anything else, any other goings on? Or should we just get right into the technology update, technology minute?
I think so. I got nothing else, Doug.
let's see. No, I got nothing.
Well, let's do it. Tech minute with Isabel.
Oh, well, I got something. Yesterday I was bragging about my NCAA bracket, and it's continuing to crush. I don't know why everybody just doesn't use Vegas to do all their picks.
Did you have North Carolina yesterday losing?
I didn't. I missed that one. But everything else, I had Indiana over Illinois, and
nice.
I don't know. I'm just feeling really good, feeling very strong. Still in the top 80,000 of all ESPN brackets out of 4.5 million.
Wow.
Does the winner of that thing get like $1 million or something, an ESPN challenge? Or do you have to have a perfect bracket?
No, the winner gets, it's like $1 million for them.
Oh. Okay. Doug's coming for it. He's ready.
I'm coming for it. Burger King $1 million, ESPN $1 million, you name it.
You can't win. You're mathematically eliminated from that already, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, probably. probably so, but.
All right. Yeah. Anyway, that's good, Doug. Glad to hear your bracket is intact. I think I'm winning my family's little competition. But that's not saying much.
I haven't done a bracket in several years. I think I said we need to get a team, a company bracket going so that I actually have somebody who cares about sports. My family refuses. Yeah.
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 We should do a company wide.
Done.
All right. Time for next year. All right. Good. All right. Well, let's hear about this watch, Isabel. What'd you get? Apple Watch, Garmin.
It's a new Garmin. As we know, I am a runner. So I upgraded my Garmin watch. I had my last one for like 7 or 8 years. And I've had my eye on this one for a while, and Garmin had a random sale. So I went ahead and got it. It's a solar. So it's solar powered too. But it's the Forerunner 955. No shout out or referral or anything. It's just the one that I thought would fit me the best. And it's been super cool. Like I've never worn like a watch to bed. Didn't think I ever would, but it tells me fun stuff. And this is the problem, is that now I want to know all the fun stuff. Like I want to know my recovery time. It's interesting. I have a small child who still wakes me up a lot at night. So the sleep score that I've been getting is just terrible. Cause they're like, you've been restless. You've been waking up a lot at night. I'm like, yes, I know. Can I like input that somewhere that I have a child that wakes me up? No, but it's been cool. It shows my training readiness. It adjusted what I should do for training today because I didn't have quite the rest that I should have yesterday. So it updated me to a recovery workout instead of like a tempo or threshold workout.
Now, will you listen to that? Will you let that thing dictate your workouts and stuff? Or you say, I'm not going to let the machine tell me what to do. I know what I need to do.
I'm trying it. I'm giving it a try to see to see what it tells me, to see how accurate it is. And I don't often do like tempo and threshold workouts because I don't really care about speed very much, but I probably should do them. They're definitely the things. Doug probably feels me on this, but they're the ones that I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that unless something tells me to do it, which is my watch right now. So I'm going to try it. I'll report back what I think. It's a race. It has me set up for the race that I'm doing in June.
Okay. Yeah, I look forward to hearing about how this goes. You know, Matt and I have talked a lot about getting too much data and if that's sometimes a bad thing.
It's probably a little bit too much for me right now, but I'm a nerd, so I'm like, ooh, mm-hmm. like it has my altitude acclimatization, or is that the word? Acclimation? Whatever. And I'm not quite acclimated to the altitude I live at, but that's because I've only had it for a week.
I mean, you know, so like a good friend of mine just ran a race, is his first marathon, and he a couple miles in was like moving out of zone two, and he wanted to run the whole thing in zone two, and he was struggling to like keep his heart rate down, and he was just obsessing over his heart rate, and I think it like really played a major mind trick on him for the race, because his watch was telling him that his heart rate was too high, and he was like then freaking out about it, and you know, for the next I think probably 10 miles was just kind of freaking out about his heart rate. And like he was telling me that story, and this is no, I'm not trying to knock him at all. He ran an awesome race and it was an awesome accomplishment. But I was just thinking like it would have been so much better if he just didn't have that information, and he could have just focused on how he felt and focused on his run and not worried so much about the heart rate stuff. I don't know. I mean, that is a very helpful tool and comes in very handy when you need it and when you want it, but it can also be a major distraction and like play major mind tricks to you.
But it might've saved him, right? If he didn't have that thing telling
him possible.
To go down, that could have ruined his entire race if he went way too hard.
It's possible. Yeah. It's possible.
Yeah. It's to me, it either is going to help you or it's going to hurt you. Like there's no really in between, and you have to know yourself and how you respond to that kind of data to know if it's going to be helpful or not. Move it away from running training. Well, actually I was going to say to something more relatable, but motorcycle racing is not that relatable, but my husband uses, he used to use a lap predictor. So like during the race, it would tell him what his lap time is going to be. And it was just killing him. Cause he like, if he messed up a little bit and his prediction went down, then it just impacted his performance. So he took it off. And it's been so much better for him. So like, he's definitely the kind of person that can't deal with that kind of data. I don't really have that kind of problem. Like if I look at my watch and it's telling me that I'm running a slow mile or my heart rate's high, like I'm not too concerned about that kind of thing. But
what if every time you sat down at your computer and sat down at your desk and opened up your computer, a little thing said, you're going to be 85% efficient today, or you're going to be 62% efficient today, and just like predicted how well you were going to work.
I just shut it down.
Would that be motivating to you to try to beat it, or would it?
No.
Be like, yeah,
not okay. For me.
50%, yeah, I'm always 50%. 50% of the time.
Not for me. That would definitely demotivate me. Like I would just be like, well, 62%. I guess I'm not doing anything. What about you guys?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't know either. I think the hard thing though, I think in general, I mean, I haven't done enough of it, but I would think if you like had trained with that thing a whole lot. Like that's a really great way to pace yourself in a race, I think, because you have, especially if you haven't done that many of them. Like I remember when I was first getting into running and I just had really still no clue what pace I could hold for a marathon. Like even once I'd done the 18 and 20 milers, because you wouldn't do those near your race pace. So I just had to constantly be guessing at what could I actually run that day. And always you end up going too fast because always, I mean, me anyway, you just, the energy of the thing pulls you. And then by mile 20, you're just done. And you end up running really what is a terrible race compared to what you could have run had you had an expert who knew everything, told you exactly what pace you needed to run. And I think the hard thing can be that expert or be very close to it. So I think your friend did the right thing, Doug. I think he did exactly the right thing.
I think a zone two marathon is, I have no hope of that. That's impressive.
I mean, I see what you're saying. And I think you're probably right. But to me, it's just like the mind tricks that it can play on you. And like he got really obsessed over it. His telling of it is that he just like began to really stress about it. And then that probably made things a lot worse.
Why didn't he slow down to stop stressing?
Well, he did. He kept slowing down and his heart rate wasn't dropping as quickly as he wanted it to. And I don't know. I mean, and that was probably making him more stressed, and his heart rate was probably going up because of it, you know? And so like, I don't know. I see what you're saying. But I also think that there's some clear downsides to too much data, both like when you're running, but also just in life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yes. I just don't know what to do with the sleep monitors. Like when it tells you to slow down today or, that you didn't sleep well, when you felt you wake up and feel like you're good. And then it tells you, you didn't sleep well. And then suddenly you feel bad or more tired. It makes me just want to ignore it. I don't know. It's rough. But that's cool. Isabel, why did you say you're drinking 2 water bottles now? How is that related to your watch?
because it told me that I needed more recovery today. So I'm consuming more electrolytes and more fluids and trying to like boost myself up for my long run. I do this all the time though. This is not actually, because my watch didn't tell me to drink more water. This is pretty common.
Okay.
But I am thinking about it.
See, I think that can get you in trouble. The watch tells you need more recovery. So suddenly you start doing brand new things, putting electrolytes in your water, bringing 2 water bottles around. Like, it just introduces all these different variables. I don't know. I've been through all this too. I get it.
This is normal behavior for me though. But it is a good point though. Like, how much emphasis do we give these kind of things when they tell us, like you said, like if it tells me that my sleep was terrible, but I wake up feeling fine, then I'm going to be like, wait, but like, do I listen to this or do I listen to like how I feel?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Whoop was a sponsor of Noumean Athlete Radio one time during a 100 miler that I ran. And I just remember the recovery prediction was like, I don't know, it was like 40 days or something like that. That it was like, limit your activity for the next 40 days. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I don't like when my watch tells me those things. Like, you need to rest 3 days after this long run. I'm like, that's not going to do that.
Yeah, I remember that Whoop. Maybe it was the early version, but I remember driving my car and it thought I was doing a yoga workout or something. And I was like, this is no good. And then also, when I really turned on these things is when I was struggling so much with my deep sleep, could not get the number up no matter what I tried. And then I finally found something that doubled my deep sleep, and that was getting the newest version of the Oura Ring. Upgrading the Oura Ring doubled my sleep, and I thought, there's something up here. This is why am I listening to this thing?
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, people here, I don't know how to pronounce this name. They were here last time saying nice things. Giliardo's dad's dad? But they said they like the show. The show makes them happy. This is what I'm talking about. But then where's the fourth person? And then the hashtag, where is Matt Tolman, has now been created. So it's, we'll see one. If that
mystery
brings any traction.
Disappearance from MT. Oh, boy.
Yeah. He maybe, we already said where he is. Maybe you joined late. He's on Rip Esselstyn's, or he's having Rip Esselstyn on our podcast for an upcoming event. And he may be here later. I'm just not sure how long he and Rip will chat it up. So we'll see.
Who knows?
All right, well, ready to jump into our weather report. Since we are doing this morning show, afternoon show format nowadays, we get some good ones today. You ready?
Got the sound machine?
Got the sound machine fired up. Here it goes. There it is. All right, yesterday, Doug, on the morning show, we teased that Sam Bankman-Fried was going to learn his fate. It turned out that fate, I think, came out while we were on the show, basically. 25 years he got, which was kind of right in the middle of what the judge or the state was asking for and what his lawyers were asking for. So I don't know. How can you be happy with that? I don't know, knowing that you got the next quarter century.
He'll get out for
good behavior. People were recommending that he not even get sentenced this long because of his vegan diet. They said this is evidence that this is a good person here. He wants to do good for other beings. He's not selfish in this case anyway. And he's been subsisting on beans and lettuce, beans and brown lettuce, they said, and undercooked rice. But now he's going to be at a low to medium security prison, which the judge recommended because he has been diagnosed with autism and something else, maybe just his you know, public profile, that he's going to be in something that is fairly easy camp cupcake kind of deal, I guess. But what he has there on the prison's commissary list is rice, almonds, and Skittles drink mix. That seems to like be the extent of the food. They said he'll be eating a lot of peanut butter, so I guess that's another option. But I don't know. I mean, do you think there should be better food than that? If you're in a prison for 25 years, like should that be a little bit more
Sure, vegan option. There's more than that, right? I mean, there has to be some vegetables. Like,
yeah, like broccoli. No broccoli.
Right? Eight canned vegetables, peas? Maybe. I guess that came as well. It wasn't just the lettuce. But canned vegetables, that's not that good.
But that's the commissary. That's the thing you buy, right? Like the cafeteria might have
a right. Option. I mean, I think it's like a grocery store.
Yeah, right.
So that's probably what he would buy for his snacks. And then he probably goes to the cafeteria to get like a hot meal, which is like probably gruel or something like that.
Definitely gruel.
I mean, I got to say, it would be very hard to be in prison for the next 25 years and think about like a very, very limited diet that you will have to eat for the next 25 years. That'd be hard.
Right. Like, it seems like maybe this is, I mean, I don't obviously know a whole lot about prison life, but I would think the meal times is like kind of a highlight of the day sometimes. Like, you get a nice warm meal three times. At least you got that. Yeah. And maybe the food's terrible sometimes. I bet it's not always terrible. I don't know. We need Prison Mike to come in and tell us what to do.
That's what I'm waiting for, is Prison Mike to come in. I don't know nearly enough. Yeah, about the prison, about the system, to know like what kind of food that they have.
Yeah, but it would just be hard if like
almonds is a snack though. I mean, not that bad.
No, that's not so bad.
If that's a snack,
good for brain health.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, I think it would be very hard. But you hear about people who go vegan in prison, so maybe it's not.
That is actually very true. Yeah, mm-hmm. There might be lots of like vegetables and starch. It's probably like a standard American diet of.
Yeah.
You got your plate, your different things of the plate.
Yeah, there should be some good potato dishes, I would think.
Yeah, probably.
There was a story that we talked about on the morning show before about someone in Switzerland, an animal rights activist who was vegan and he wouldn't eat anything in prison or something like that. And I think it ended up being like decided that he took them to court over this thing, that there weren't, food options. And this was, an ideology or whatever that should have been protected. And I think it was ruled that it should be protected. And it was. So he got some decent options. But, it's probably just a bare minimum thing. All right, Giliardo's dad's dad says, reason Sam Bankman-Fried deserves a proper meal. He's a human being. He's sentient, whatever you want to say over there, and he's vegan. So if you're vegan, you deserve a proper meal, apparently.
Why wouldn't you?
I mean, a human. Okay. He's a human. Should deserves a proper meal.
Exactly.
Right. And then Joey Carbstrong, who's got this new movie out about I think in the UK, maybe exposing the pig farming industry.
Mm-hmm.
He says he decided to go vegan while in prison, but he started when he got released. Okay, got so it. He made the decision, but then said, once I get out of here, I'm going to change my way. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel bad for SBF here. This is, and it's because he's vegan. I mean, it connects with me. And I don't know. I just can't imagine having to eat that terrible food.
And he's a crypto trader, and you're a crypto trader. You're basically the same guy. You could be in jail for the next 25 years if you screw something up here, Matt.
Ooh. Yeah, I should do what he did, but then just stop before it gets illegal and make all that money and then just get out of the game.
It's a good way to do it. Stop before it's legal. Yeah.
All right. So that's your SBF update. I'm sure there will be more. So we'll keep you abreast of it.
I'm sure people can't wait to hear them.
Yeah. Dying to know.
All right. This is from Green Queen. They reported that 95% of Starbucks shareholders have voted against PETA's call to drop the non-dairy surcharge. I don't fully understand how these board goings-on work, but apparently at the annual shareholder meeting, which was on March 13th, so 2 weeks ago, there was a PETA manager of corporate responsibility there, and her name's Jacqueline Sardasige. I don't get why there would be a PETA rep like at the Starbucks thing. Do they just
petitioning for a change?
Does that mean they own enough shares like to get in the meeting? Like, they probably
somebody owns enough shares. I don't know if it's PETA that owns the shares, but somebody does.
I mean, if they have a representative there, right, then she must have earned the right to be there. I don't think I could just go to the Starbucks meeting without having Starbucks.
No, I'm sure she's a shareholder. Yeah.
Okay. So they invest that they can then get to the places. Yeah. So anyway, so she was there, spoke up about this thing, and they basically said, no, we're not doing this. First of all, it was voted 95% don't want to change this thing. The statement that they responded to a proposal for a report said, commissioning a separate report on the impact of our pricing strategy for plant-based milk customizations would divert resources from our ongoing efforts to expand plant-based options for our customers. So they're basically saying, we want to keep doing plant-based stuff, this just isn't the most important thing we can focus on right now. So you know,
a report on the pricing.
I think she wanted a special report on this thing, on this strategic decision. Should we?
I mean, that sounds like something you throw out the intern and they just put together a report. That doesn't sound too difficult. Like, I can't. That, right. There's no way that's going to derail their efforts, their plant-based efforts. That's a cop out on Starbucks.
Well, the argument was basically that like it costs more to buy plant-based milk, and that's why they charge more, because it costs more. But PETA was saying like charge more for the not plant-based milk to deter people from using as a statement.
They weren't going for price parity. They were trying to actually increase dairy milk.
I'm not 100% sure, but that was my understanding.
That was suggested. I don't know if that's what the report was supposed to be about. I think they may have wanted just them to deep dive into this pricing question and whether they should change that pricing anyway. But one of the suggestions was make the dairy the more expensive thing. No, and the argument here, from the sake of inside the company, is that like customers generally like the idea of the feeling like it's a sustainable option that you're paying money for. Mm-hmm. And so even if this weren't great for the bottom line at first, it is a good long-term investment. And so, you know, who knows if that's true or not. But it appears that all these efforts, all these James Cromwell goofy ads and things like that, it's just not really doing anything. So
they
I said
that like this is just in the US. So like internationally, Starbucks, like they don't have an upcharge for plant-based milks.
That makes sense. Yeah, you're right. It says in the UK, China, Argentina, France, Belgium, and the Netherlands, this is not the case. But in the US, up to 90 cents more for non-dairy milk. That's a lot. I'd save a lot of money per year if that wasn't the case. My household would.
There you go.
Not me.
Doug has boycotted his local store. Even though they're just a good tax-paying part of the economy, he's boycotted.
They're charging him 90 cents more. Of course he's boycotted.
Is it 90 cents?
Up to 90 cents. I think it's 70 cents.
I think it's like 70 to 90. That's crazy. I think the... don't they have like hemp milk at some locations now too? I think those might be the 90 cents one.
Mm. That's never seen that. It is crazy. I mean, why not make it like a quarter? I mean, it just seems more.
Or just don't charge more.
There's no way that serving is 70 cents.
There is no way. There's no way. Exactly. It's way too much. But maybe, but to have several milks at all, maybe that whole process, overhead, training employees, maybe all that is like considered expensive.
No way. No way. There's no way. And you don't have to have all the different ones. All you have to have is oat milk and soy milk, right? Like,
but why would they be trying to gouge plant-based people with this? Like,
because you pay it, you suckers.
Can. Yeah.
Well, they could just gouge everybody with everything then, and they do, I guess. But
they do. Their drinks are like $8.
Yeah. And the Oleado is like $15.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so there's Starbucks. And finally, good news this time. Not Mayo, which is the Kraft Heinz Knott company. They've partnered with this Knott company, and now they're making all these good products, like the mac and cheese. A few weeks ago, it was told that one's coming. They've launched the vegan mayonnaise squeeze bottle. It's already been out as a jar. The big news, though, is that this is the squeeze bottle. The jar apparently shot
the people
up
what they want.
What?
Give the people what they want. Exactly. Squeeze bottle.
Exactly. The jar became the second most popular plant-based mayo brand, I guess probably behind Veganaise, or maybe the Hellman's Vegan. I don't really know. But Knott Mayo went to number two, and now they got this squeeze bottle coming out and a new campaign that honestly, to me, puts the Oatly advertising to shame. This one is, the brand is launching the campaign. It's called Mayo Haters. And the idea is that the self-proclaimed mayo haters in the ads, people who say they hate mayo, are going to also hate this because it's so similar to the real thing. And that's a pretty good ad. If I watch that, like, I always consider myself kind of a mayo hater. Not really anymore. I enjoy it now. Mm-hmm. But when I was an omnivore, I just didn't ever like mayonnaise. So I don't know. I think I'd pay attention to that. And I'd say, well, that's funny. But then if you're a mayo hater and you just got targeted by the ad, it's not going to obviously make you do it. But I guess the non-haters might say, okay, we'll give that a try. So I like it. That's what Oatly needs, this kind of stuff, instead of the garbage they're putting out. This is way better.
I do like the idea of the mayo hater. I feel like mayonnaise is a pretty, you're either on one side or the other side. You either like it or you like really, really hate it. I'm definitely a hater.
Who doesn't like mayo?
Hate mayonnaise.
We don't.
What?
Oh. I'll use it in recipes, like if I'm making something that has to have mayonnaise in it, but no, hard pass.
Yeah.
The like tank. Ooh.
So you won't be buying the squeeze bottle, Isabel?
No, I will not.
No, I'm here for it. I think it's a great idea.
I think vegan mayo is actually pretty good. I don't know why it smells just a little bit better.
I think it's delicious. I use it all the time. But the problem with vegan mayo oftentimes, and this may be the case with all mayo, I have no idea, but I think it's been a long time since I ordered mayo or got a jar of mayo. But by the end, it gets kind of separated and like watery, like kind of gross, like the last quarter of the bottle. So if you had a bottle like that, that you could shake up real well before you squeeze it on.
Right. And you never have to see it. You never see
the jar.
You never see it. That's right. You never see it. I think it's good. I think it's very good.
For people who, again, people who like mayonnaise, I think this is great. Why not have a squeeze bottle of it? Seems pretty easy.
There's probably a whole lot wasted though in a squeeze bottle. I mean, I know there is. The kind that clings to the sides, whereas in a jar, you can get it with a knife. Mm-hmm.
Good point. So
then you cut the bottle. Do you not do that? You cut the bottle in half and get in there?
No, we definitely don't do that.
Oh, we don't waste in this household. Cut the bottle. Use a little squeegee thing to.
Well, Carly in her scrappy cooking stuff has good advice for those kind of things. You put other stuff into the jar, like a mustard bottle, shake it up, make a vinaigrette. Mm-hmm. So you can definitely do that with this plant-based.
I do that one. Yep,
that's there you go.
Boom.
Go to plantu.com. Get yourself pre-order that book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. Do that. Reminder, Carly's going to be on the show in about 2 weeks' time from now. So that'll be fun. All right, little Twitch contingent here. We got some calls for a raid and other stuff I don't understand. But good to see Twitch people watching. So hello Twitch. Please spread the word. Make the comments. Do whatever you want. Do whatever it is you do over there.
I looked up what XII raid is and couldn't figure it out. I wasn't sure if maybe we were gonna get like bombarded with a bunch of people.
It looks like there's two people mm-hmm. raided. But I don't know. Gene Ogden points out squeeze bottle equals plastic, frowny face. No one jumped at that.
That is a really good point.
Good point. Yeah.
Is plastic any worse than glass though, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hands down, yes.
Harder to recycle, I know that much. We could put all the recycling in one place except for the glass has to go in its own place out in the garage.
That's because it actually gets recycled. And the plastic mostly just ends up in the dump.
That makes
into
sense.
Into the ocean.
All right, good. So there you go. There's your weather report. That's the goings on. By the way, we bought we have not got the NotCo mac and cheese yet, but I'd get that. The classic blue box mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
But we did, my daughter wanted it the other day. She just said, I would love to have that. And I said, well, it's coming out soon. But we couldn't find it in the store, but we did find the Daya version and bought that. And it's not a cheesy powder like the Kraft stuff used to be. It's like a cheesy squeeze pouch that you make the macaroni elbows and then you squeeze that in. So we haven't made it yet, but we do have it. I think it was like $6 or something. And you know, my problem with the dye is that it just doesn't really melt and taste good. So I'm thinking maybe this where it's already squeezy pouch might be better.
Keep us posted.
I will do that.
Make all right,
more Twitch people saying hi. Hello, Bakul Dada. Thank you for showing up, commenting. All right, let's get to the main article today, which is the best fitness gifts the entire year. This is from variety.com. So these are the gifts you give all year long for different things. No specific holiday here. This is just when you need a gift, you just turn to this. If you got a fitness fanatic in your life, we've already talked about the Garmin, whatever model you have there, Isabel.
Hey.
I've heard the Apple Watch. I think that's coming up, actually. Well, I'll save my thoughts on the Apple Watch. All right, number one thing is a water bottle. The Brewmate Rotera 35-ouncer. Doug, are you going to put these pictures up on the screen? Is that possible?
I can, yeah. I can do that. Yeah.
I can.
They talk about the Hydro Flask, the Stanley Quencher. By the way, my household has two Stanley cups now, Doug. A couple weeks ago, I'd never heard of it when you mentioned it.
Really?
Now
two of them.
Now we got
Who is using them?
My son and daughter. Each of them has their own Stanley Cup.
I've been curious about this because the Stanley Cup craze, I think, blew up a little while ago from like the soccer mom type woman.
Right. Yeah.
But I think kids are now using it too. And I was wondering if it was like boys and girls.
No, it's kind of a girl thing. That's the thing. My mom got it from my son for Christmas as a great gift, and he was very excited. But he had a few reservations about it because it's kind of a girl trend. So then my daughter got one, but he still uses it. It's nice to have, but
it's a cup.
Yeah, I don't really get it. Like, why do they want that huge cup? It's like, what does it do?
How is there anything feminine about a cup? I need to look this up. I don't know anything about the Stanley Cup. So.
I mean, come on. You don't know about the Stanley Cup craze?
No.
Really?
I know nothing about this. No.
The Starbucks, I think it was Starbucks Stanley Cups. They were selling at Target or something like that. Like they literally had fight. People were literally throwing punches over trying to get them. And limit one per things customer.
Things I will never understand. Somebody explain that to me.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't have one, then you can't post it on TikTok. So you got to get one to help your TikTok account.
All right. But this article is not trying to get you to get a Stanley Cup.
No, this is for the newest one, the Brew Mate, the twist sip straw lid, on-demand sanitary sips, keeps ice for more than 24 hours. That's a good thing. I'm out on this. I hate the water bottles that you can't put in the dishwasher. And I don't know if this is one or not, but they're like $35. And then you got to wash them every time.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the idea of this. I like a good old plastic Dasani bottle or something. And you carry that around for a week, refill it. And then when you're done, you throw it out. But you use it many times.
You carry around a Dasani bottle for a week?
Yeah. No, and you look cooler than everyone else because you're not trying too hard with these fancy things. You just kind of take what comes your way. And you use it.
It's all about the look. Looking cool with your Dasani bottle. I disagree fundamentally with that, but
I also disagree fundamentally with that. But I'm not. I mean, this is. I mean, there's how many there's insulated always gotta water be a bottles water bottle. Now are there now? And this is a bad gift. Bad gift unless somebody needs a insulated water bottle, which I don't think anybody actually does.
Right. Nobody does. All right. On to the next.
I use an insulated water bottle and I love it. What are you talking about? Regardless, but there's always going to be a water bottle on this kind of list because water bottles are always, whether it's a good gift or not, Doug disagrees. But if you're going to get somebody a water bottle, get him an insulated one.
What is an underrated water bottle now that used to be super popular?
Nalgene?
A classic Nalgene bottle. Yeah.
Classic Nalgene. I like the classic Nalgene thing.
BPA free, but that's where that's like everybody moved away from them because of that.
Yeah, I mean, all these popular ones now, I think, are metal inside.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Which I understand. I mean, Nalgene's plastic, but I still use a Nalgene bottle from time to time that I have had since college, which was 20 some odd years ago. And
they get way smellier than the metal ones do.
No, you can not stick if Nalgene you
not if you keep them clean, and you can put them in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's good. For that reason, I think you're right.
It's a great water bottle. Metal ones get all dinged up, then they don't sit properly on the...
Yeah, that's true.
On your table?
Yep. All right, moving on. Bose Quiet Comfort Earbuds 2. I think Erin has these. I don't know if she got Quiet Comfort or the other one. She actually doesn't love the noise cancellation because it makes it so you can't hear like cars and things.
Mm-hmm.
So she sometimes just wears one of them. Is that your move too, Doug? I think maybe she learned it from you.
Man, these graphics are not good. I don't have the Bose, but I have now. I'm running with just AirPod ear, and I always turn off noise cancellation because unless like I'm on an airplane or something where I really truly need to cancel noise. Yeah, because you can't hear any cars, you can't hear people on the trail, you can't hear bears. Yeah. Like it's just not a good move. I don't think to be outside interacting with people with noise cancellation.
I just wear the one. That's my game. Mm-hmm.
I typically do that too. But this is good. I think these things have come a long way. I know Aaron's sound really good when I've listened to them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they sound awesome.
Holden has, I think, a pair of Beats. Is that what they're called? No longer Beats by Dre. They're just Beats now.
Just Beats.
He has a pair of those that look like this. A little cheaper, though. But they're good. Mm-hmm. He likes them. All right. Next gift. Ooh. Nike Air Max 270. I don't even know what this is. I think we can probably skip this. No one's buying this, right?
Somebody is
basketball, maybe.
I mean, no one's as a gift. No one's guessing. Unless this is specifically asked for, you're not presenting someone with this as a gift and saying, "Here, I got you this," and it's shoes. All right, next, Life Force membership. You know what Life Force is?
No idea.
I do not.
Well, they have at home blood testing of 40 plus biomarkers. Sounds like a compliment insight knockoff. They send a phlebotomist to your home, telehealth visits. Personalized health optimization program. So the woman here looks like she's on a yoga mat. She's on a yoga mat, but I don't think there's any of that involved. Just like it's kind of a health coach ground up.
Well, this probably includes like workout plans. That sounds pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd gift this to somebody, but it sounds cool.
I guess if you just like didn't pay attention to your health and this was sort of a top to bottom, like one-stop shopping, I'm just going to fix everything. Kind of good.
Matt, how old is this list? Their Black Friday deal?
2024.
This is advertising their Black Friday deal.
Well, maybe it was published previously and they updated for SEO purposes.
I want to know how much it costs.
It's all still relevant. They mentioned the Stanley Cup craze. What do you know about that? All right, next. Theragun mini handheld electric massage gun. I didn't know this existed. I have a Theragun. Cool. It's too loud to use a Theragun in a normal... You can't sit there and watch TV with other people in the room and use Theragun because no one can hear the TV.
That is very true. That's very true. Yeah.
So if this is quieter, that's a good thing.
I have a Theragun knockoff. And my... I mean, yeah, it's loud, but it's awesome. I'm all for this one.
I know. I love these
like
things.
It's portable that you can take with you a little bit. Like my like case is like this big for the Theragun.
Yeah, it is. It's big to bring that thing.
This is pretty cool.
Bringing the multiple heads around the attachments.
Okay. I got to go back quickly to this life. What was it? Life?
Yeah.
Life Force?
Doug can't help himself.
It's $600 is your initial intake. $600. And then $200. No, $129 a month after that. No one's buying that as a gift. Zero people. Zero people are buying that.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Right.
Maybe they buy them for themselves. Really it.
Yeah, that's a weird thing.
This would be like a gift that like a mom or dad or somebody gets for themselves for Christmas. And then it's like, oh, this is from Santa. Or from...
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
You got this for me when I got it for me.
Yeah. Okay.
That kind of gift.
All right. Yeah, I like this. I like the Theragun thing. I think the smaller one, if it's as powerful, that's a pretty good thing. If it can still do the job.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
You know, honestly, the Theragun, nothing compared to a good old like laying on a lacrosse ball. It just doesn't nearly get in as deep as that gun.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the lacrosse ball too. It's a good. That was good.
Big fan of a true massage. Nothing gets in there like that.
Yeah. I hate those. I really do not like.
Really?
My muscles being squeezed by people. Yeah.
Is it just the vulnerability?
The intimacy? It hurts. I don't know. I do that's my own hurting of my muscles, but with lacrosse balls and things, I don't know. I don't know why you ever pay for that.
I love a good massage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for another day, we'll have that debate, I guess. All right. The Hoka Clifton 9, Doug, you probably know more about the shoes than I do. It's about you as well. Hoka's
the
most famous sneaker in the world. I can't believe I've said that sentence. I thought this was a
Hokas are loved by runners. They're loved by
walkers.
Walkers. They're loved by Joe Biden now. He wears Hokas. Right?
Wow.
Yeah. Everybody's wearing Hokas.
Yeah. I did just give my friend Hokas as a gift. Look at that.
No, yeah, there you go. It's a trendy thing. Like I think like people wear them around now.
Mm-hmm. It's probably horrible.
I don't know if I would do that.
Yeah, that cannot be good for your muscles and feet.
Great for running, in my opinion. But
you think?
I mean, I just don't think I just don't think walking like that is good. I mean, I don't know. I feel like you got to be close to the ground for your foot to do what it's meant to do. Wasn't that thing that the ultra guy used to share about the gymnasts getting hurt more at the one Olympics, and they turned out that there was more padding in the floor than usual, and it was messing them up.
That's fascinating.
All right, this one's kind of cool. The plunge. This just says Joe Rogan it up with the cold plunge. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is his thing or if he just cold plunges in general. But it's I think it's like it's $5,000, and you get a nice tub, but powerful cooling, filtration, sanitation, whenever you want, no ice needed.
I want one of these.
You do?
I want one too.
Yes.
There's several of these brands out, and I always get it. Every time they come up, I'm like, that sounds really nice.
Mm-hmm. Are any of them like a fifth of the price of that, or are they all?
Oh, a lot of them are. A lot of them will do the like, they'll make the water cold. I mean, you can get just like a barrel now where you like dump ice in it, right? There's some that like make the water cold, so cycle the water through, but then it won't filter it. Like, this is intended to be like a hot tub where you just kind of always have a cold tub to jump into. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And I tried to pitch Katie on us getting one of these last year, but
I think
she didn't
just get
it.
Just get a deep freezer and then just hop into your deep freezer.
Yeah. I mean, that's what our colleague Jerry did.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw my neighbor has one. I saw them getting into their deep freezer outside. And I was like, oh, that's a cold.
But again, that just makes it cold. It doesn't filter it. So you still have to change out the water. You still have to do all this stuff. This is a set and forget it.
I can just. Why do you have to change out the water? Can you
dumb person? I think this is a fad. Pretty soon, everyone's going to stop optimizing things, and we're not going to care about cold tubs anymore. And we're just going to say, "Why was this thing in my garage? This huge $5,000 tub?"
Oh no, I disagree. I totally disagree. But I'm a cold plunger. I love cold plunging because not for like optimal anything. I don't care at all about any of that stuff. I just know it makes me feel so good for the next couple hours afterwards. I feel so alive and alert. It's like I took 5 shots of coffee without the jitters. And I just love it. It just makes me feel so good.
Well, if that's true, then that's worth it. I feel great for a few hours every day. And that's a couple $1,000 for that is probably worth it.
I agree.
All right. Tell Katie we
yeah. Vote. Tell Katie we're on board.
She listens to this. She
make it a work expense. You can talk about it on the show and then write it off.
Yeah. There you go. Perfect. Can I use the credit card?
My wife Erin says the Nike shoe is a middle school girl's shoe. So like the they didn't put the Stanley Cup on here, but like that middle school girl's thing. Our TikTok person, Bakuldada, says should include some PEMF or some earthing shoes. But their favorite shoe is the Hoka Challenger trekking shoe. Maximalist shoe for trekking. Yeah, and I think for
it is a good shoe.
That's Twitch, right, not TikTok.
You're getting a long way without your feet hurting. I mean, it's great. Mm-hmm. I don't know about everyday walking around Hollywood use, but
I would agree with that.
They also say Dana White uses the cold plunge in the morning as his coffee replacement. See, I believe it.
But there we don't want to replace coffee. Coffee's good for us. We just talked about that yesterday. There's many.
Have your coffee in the cold plunge. Can you do that?
Oh yeah, totally.
Contrast: heat, hot coffee, cold plunge.
That sounds great.
Be better. All right, meow meow. Finally made it to a live stream. Welcome, meow meow. Nice to have you here. And Bridger says post long run for sure makes legs feel less crappy. Yeah, I don't know if there's really great science behind the cold thing for muscle recovery, but like everyone reports that, including me, same thing. Holden does it. It feels like you're better later or you recover faster.
I like a hot bath after a run, but that's because I vastly prefer like the hot over the cold. Like if I could be hot and over cold anytime, I will always pick being hot.
Me too. We're on the same page, Isabel, with a lot of these things.
Sorry, Doug.
Okay. Moving on. CalPAC Luca Duffel. Yeah, I don't want this. I don't know what this is.
I don't care about
this.
What's so special about this?
Cool guy.
It's got a lot of pockets.
So it's like you wear it's your duffel bag, but it looks cooler. It looks like a fashionable kind of thing. Again, this is like the opposite of carrying around the Dasani bottle to try to look like you're not trying too hard. This is trying too hard to me. Get a duffel bag that costs $3. Classic, blue bag with white ropes, straps, and then that looks cool.
It's like this, a disposable duffel bag. Is that what you're going for?
Yeah, I don't know if this is the I don't know if this is the same thing, but I did see like a duffel bag the other day that you can like that it folds out and then it's basically like a hanging clothes bag. Mm-hmm. So you like put all your clothes in, but then you like and it turns into a duffel bag. That I thought was pretty cool.
That for traveling, that'd be nice.
For traveling. Wait,
this is like a fold out like a hang in a closet like for a travel person.
Yeah, that's what I saw. I don't know if this is that.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think that'd be good.
Instead of whatever this is.
Get that. You know what, Matt? You and I forget. Maybe you mentioned it on a podcast one year and my mom got it for me, or maybe it was the other way around. But we had these duffel bags that were, I think, built for triathletes. Do you remember that?
Was it OGGI or was it something like that?
I don't think it was OG. And it was a good bag. But what I really liked about it was the compartment at the bottom for your wet clothes. It kept everything, it dry from everything else. So like if you're using it for the gym or using it for, going to the pool or whatever, like you just throw all your wet clothes underneath and it had this like waterproof layer that kept everything above it from getting wet. I thought that was brilliant. Mm-hmm. That is a true elevated duffel bag experience.
Yes. Yeah. It's called OGO, O-G-I-O. I still have that duffel bag and I still use it fairly often. I don't have wet clothes. I just put like the dirty clothes in it on a trip and keep them away from the other clothes. And it's nice. It's a good bag.
That's good.
All right.
But not this bag.
Those were free, Doug. They sent us them. The people sent us them, I think.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. We put it on our Nomad Athlete Radio gift guide one year.
Ooh.
We disclosed that it was free. All right. On to the next. Spikeball. You know, the game Spikeball, taking the beaches by storm. This is fun. I like Spikeball.
Spikeball's been around for a long time. I think it's just like hitting its craze. Yeah, like when I was in college, people played Spikeball.
So if you're gonna give this as a gift, they probably already have it. There's one problem with this as a gift.
But, accurate. Yeah. But it's super fun. I'm all for this. It's a great game.
It is fun. It's a good game. Mm-hmm. Doug, you haven't said anything. You seem like a Spikeball guy. You're not.
You do seem like a spike ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. I love it.
You don't play that block game. You don't bring those that stack of blocks to the beach people throw around. Have you seen those? Wooden blocks.
Stack of blocks?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
Wooden blocks.
That's like Jenga?
It looks like Jenga, but a little bit larger, and they throw it around the beach. I don't
There's
understand.
Something... Oh, man, what's that game called? Jenga. No.
Cub game. K-U-B-B is the...
No, I'm a big fan of spikeball because it's an active game. Mm-hmm. You know, the problem with a lot of the beach games like bocce, which I like, or cornhole, or can jam. I like can jam too. Those are drinking games, right? You're standing around, you're not moving very much, you have a beer in your hand. Spikeball is like active and you feel real good when you're playing it and you have fun, and then you can go have your beer and you've got your sweat on.
It's like sand volleyball.
Yeah, you get to dive a lot.
Active, it's moving around. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm with you, Doug.
All right, so we like this, except they probably already have it, but we like the idea of this one. This is probably the Griff we most have agreed on. Uh-huh. All right, NutriBullet Pro 900. We actually have one of these, and we use it a good amount. It's not a NutriBullet. It's a Ninja brand. But the idea is the personal blender with the upside-down cup that you blend right in that cup, and then you drink it. This is pretty good. When the blender, big blender's dirty and you want to do some little job or something, or you're traveling... bring the smoothies in hotel. You bring this mini thing, and it's really nice.
Does it blend nuts as well as some of the big blenders do? That's my biggest thing.
I think it will blend like a typical nuts, like softer nuts, like walnuts. I don't know about these raw almonds and they're showing.
Yeah, like
there.
Almonds and cashews. That's why we used to have the personal blender, and we got rid of it and got a Vitamix instead. For
Were you putting the things in the right order?
Probably not. I just like chopping
the nuts need to be close to the blade so they get chopped up early.
Probably not. Mm. Yeah, it probably use your ear. I'll own that one. This is good.
All right, next Outdoor Voices District Vision Junior sunglasses. I don't wear sunglasses. I'm not a sunglass wearer.
These don't look like sunglasses. These look like they look like eye protection. Is this for somebody who like shoots?
District Vision, not outdoor. Yeah, District Vision. Okay. District Vision makes the best pair of sunglasses I've ever owned. They are quite expensive. I can't remember. In my Rock Creek Runner days, I got them for free. They are so light and so awesome. And they got crushed, and I was devastated. I loved those sunglasses. Those were the first pair of sunglasses that I really, truly, actually loved.
How'd they get crushed?
It's a good brand.
Somebody like stepped on them.
That Ogio bag comes with a sunglass compartment, a hard shell.
It does, I know. My District Vision sunglasses lived in that compartment for on many trips.
That is a really cool feature of said bag because I have all of the like free sunglasses that you get like at places. Yeah. I have like 20 of them and I just chuck them when they're done.
I'm like a Gooder sunglasses guy now. Just because they're cheap and they're fine, but they're like. District Vision, man, they were so light you didn't even know they were on your face. Loved them.
Doug needs another pair, everybody.
I know, I really do.
Well, we got to make a gift guide, and then we'll tell them we need a pair.
Exactly. There you go. Okay.
All right. The Aura Ring is next. I already bashed the Aura Ring because I said when I upgraded it doubled my sleep, and that seems like there's a problem there. If they were telling me the ring was accurate, and then they fixed it by that much. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's okay. I like the O-ring. It's like a heart rate monitor. It's fun to use for a while and you learn some things. And then eventually you probably move past it. But I think it's good.
Cool for people who want the kind of technology that this provides.
I would never wear an O-ring.
I would never. No? Why not just wear a watch?
I don't know.
This at least tells me the time too. Yeah, that's my biggest thing with the Aura
Ring. And I was going to say this when you mentioned the watch doing all those things. Like it used to be that those were the domain of rings and whoops and special things. Now watches can do it. So I don't know what that means for these ring companies or like these things that only do that.
They don't tell you the time. To me, if you're going to have something on your wrist all the time, at least tell me what the time is.
Right. Or be able to.
The watch is much more invasive than a ring. I'll say that. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
All right. Well, speaking of watches, that's next up. Apple Watch Series 9. My dad just got an Apple Watch. I don't know. It sure wasn't $349 like this says. This thing was like $800, he said. This says GPS only. I don't know what that means. But anyway, he said it's great. He said it does fantastic things. It's got like EKG stuff if you want. So if you're a heart person, you got that. I think it'd be cool to have a good watch, but not. It's just not. Wouldn't really fit in my life, I don't think.
Here's the problem. I wore an Apple Watch for a while. Again, brought to us by a sponsor. Apple Watch. Because you wouldn't do it. It was an app that you gave you workouts, but you had to have an Apple Watch because you went to the gym and it like gave you workouts that you did on the thing. So they gave me a free Apple Watch. I wore it. I wore it and it was awesome. But the problem is that, I mean, you just have to turn off the notifications. If you start getting all your text messages and like all that stuff.
It's a phone on your wrist.
It's a phone on your wrist. And so it's just so incredibly distracting. You know, if I'm talking to somebody and my phone buzzes but it's in my pocket, I can pretty quickly like be like, okay, I'll check that later, you know, and let it go. But if it's on my wrist, then there's just no way I'm not going to like look at it and want to know who sent me a text message. So that's tough.
Yeah, it seems like a problem. All right, we're about out of time here, so let's talk about the last three and then be done. Allo Moves annual membership gift box, at-home fitness, yoga, and meditation place. I don't know. This is just...
I'd want to know more about this. Like the other one, I'm like, well, is this really worth it?
Yeah. Okay, the Lululemon double roller. I don't really know why it's double. Two-in-one roller.
I wanted to know. The inside comes out of it.
Then
it's a foam roller, and then I think the inside is like harder, so it's like a different compound. Okay. I thought this was pretty cool.
That's cool.
Uh huh. Yeah, everybody needs a good foam roller.
I like a good foam roller. Yep.
$64 though, instead of like $12.
Well, because it's two. It's two foam rollers.
You're right, and it's two. All right, and finally, the Nordic Track Commercial Studio Cycle. This, I guess, is like Peloton, but way more features. Maybe for the more serious cyclist. Who doesn't care about the, you know, the TV in front of them with the coaches on there? Because I don't think they have that.
Look at the picture. It's a huge TV. Massive.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. And virtual riding. Yeah. This is a Peloton competitor.
Nordic Track version of the Peloton.
$2,000. I heard Peloton is like just like tanking now. Is that right? No one wants Peloton anymore. I thought I heard that.
I didn't know this. They have
pandemic just boomed for them, and then I think
People are going back to gyms.
Yeah. Everybody's doing what's the other thing that people ride these days? You see them Strava all the time. What's it called? Where you're like actually racing other people. It feels like you're in a Peloton of bicycles.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know.
Bridger says she had the bike. The software is garbage. Huh. Look at that.
I have just a regular old bike that doesn't have any software. And I got to say, I love it.
Outdoor bike or indoor?
It's an indoor trainer, just like Zwift. A Peloton, but it just doesn't have the screen.
But how do you get stimulated?
I pull up YouTube videos.
Oh, okay.
Follow those instead.
All right, good. Well, thanks for everyone for listening. We're out of time. We got to go on to the next Outlier Health team meeting is happening. So we got to get out of here. But thank you for coming to this Friday edition of the plant-based morning/afternoon show. Never know what to call it on Fridays, but thanks for coming and spread the word, please. We want people to come to this Friday show, even though it's a new.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Mm-hmm. We will see you on Monday or Goodbye. Tuesday.